Today's podcast is sponsored by My Comic Shop. Go to cspn.us, then click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link at the top of the page. From there, click on the My Comic Shop banner and order from a vast selection of new releases, back issues, vintage classics, graphic novels, and more to be delivered right to your door. Why bother schlepping to the local comic book store when you can order your books online? My Comic Shop through cspn.us. Do it today.
The following is a presentation of the Cold Slither Podcast Network.
And welcome to a neuroscience episode of the Click Nation's Comic Book Chronicles. I am your host, Tim D-O-double-G. And I'm joined tonight by the man behind the sound effects. That's at agent_70 on Twitter.
What's up, everybody?
And we also have here tonight the man coming back to us from his weekend at Heroes Con 2015. That's at Roddy Cat on Twitter.
Yes, I have returned, and I bring things.
Awesome.
Comic things, hopefully.
Oh, yes.
Remember to follow us on Twitter at TheClickNation. And go to our website, theclicknation.com, where you can find previous episodes of Comic Book Chronicles, comic book reviews, and comic book news. Follow the Twitter account, at theclicknation, or facebook.com/theclicknation. Add us to your circles on Google+, search for theclicknation, and the Google Plus link is google.com/+theclicknation. Add us to your subscriptions on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and iTunes. And our YouTube link is youtube.com/TheClickNation. We are a part of the Cold Slither Podcasting Network and Comic Related Podcasting Network. Go to their respective websites, cspn.us and comicrelated.com. Use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles or CBCron on your favorite social media websites. And you may have your updates read live on the show.
Yeah!
Actually, they will be read live if you use them. And speaking of...
As long as they're good.
And speaking of iTunes, Stitcher, make sure to give us 5-star reviews, give us a thumbs up, recommend us to your fellow friends, especially if they're fans of comics. And if you ever have any feedback you want to have read on a future show, send that to either theclicknation@gmail.com or comicbookchronicles@gmail.com.
Nice.
All right. So do we want to start with the Heroes Con recap?
Please. I'm dying to hear this.
Dying.
All right. Well, we don't want to kill anybody over here. So, it was a great weekend. Well, it was a good weekend, let's put it away. I was a little discombobulated because I got turned around on a couple of things. But I ended up, let's see, hang on, let me pull up something here real quick because I had intended to make notes on this stuff.
You need reference, and, yes.
Yeah.
It's so much after, you know, the week after a con that you just sort of can't remember, so I'm glad you took
pretty
notes.
Much. No, I didn't take notes, but yeah,
you made notes.
I have some mental notes, so I'm just going to refer back to my little schedule here. But I'm going to go through the stuff real quick. So basically what happened after the show Thursday, I went starting to get my panel stuff together. And this year they had some pretty good panels, and they had some stuff that kind of conflicted, which, you know, anytime you go to a con, you have to kind of pick and choose your panelists because something's always going to conflict or something's going to run rampant on other things. Apparently, there was some news that came out of HeroesCon, which we may or may not get to, even though I didn't get to the panels. So, Friday night, let's see, Friday afternoon, let's see, I missed that panel. That was an Image panel that was supposed to be pretty good, but I missed that Storytelling one. But I did go to, there was an Archer panel at 4 o'clock with the art director and lead storyboard artist. They were pretty good, and they were just kind of going through clips of the show and their process on how the show runs. It was kind of enlightening. Some of the stuff I have audio in, which I forgot to tell you about. If I go through some of this audio, I'll send it to y'all. See, after that panel, I went to... Oh, they had a screening of Justice League, a new Frontier, which granted has been out for a minute, but the director was there and he was giving out commentary.
Okay.
And that was pretty cool. It was a little slow start because of, you know, technical difficulties, but it was quite good. Plus, I hadn't seen that in a while, so all right. I almost went and watched it again that night, but I chose not to. The only problem I had was I did not get to the floor Friday and Saturday.
The show floor?
Yeah, by my own fault, because after the that in this particular reason, because the Justice League, you know, it was a movie, so it took about an hour and a half, and the show floor closed at like 7.
Right.
That's normal. Yeah, it was like 6 or 7 when the show floored, and they weren't letting anybody in back down there like around 5 or 6, something like that. So I couldn't get down there Friday, and then Saturday I started out late for some odd reason, I can't remember why, so I missed the DC panel, and I don't know if there was anything out of that, but I ended up going to Hickman's panel.
Nice.
Hickman had a collaborators panel, so it was him and Nick Patara, Nick Dragota, and Ryan Bodenheim, and they were talking about the stuff that they do, you know, with each other and the process they go through. It was pretty funny because Hickman was tripping the whole time.
Oh no!
Yeah, so that was fun. Hopefully the audio of that will come out also. And then after that, I went to the Racing Comics. It was a Racing Comics panel that was actually pretty well attended, which was good to see. And it was a pretty. This is, it seemed like this might have been the first time they had that panel, so it was a little loose. But there was also some stuff that, you know, there was some discussion had about, you know,
current events.
No, well, a little bit of that going on, but it started out as, you know, well, these are the heroes that you know, that we liked, that, you know, that could use more representation. And but it was a really, really, really good discussion. And I can't remember because there was a couple of things that I don't know if anybody on here is.
Well, what'd you get? That's all I care about.
All right. Well,
let me go through cool. Something. Like prints or art.
Yeah,
or...
which creators did you see?
Like, we're gonna get to the news, dude. Don't worry about that.
Okay, well, I mean, none of that was news. So, but okay, well, real quick, the Spider-Gwen panel, I caught the end of that because the Racing Comics one went a little long. We'll get to that because there was some news about that. And then I went to the hip hop. Oh man.
That's what you were tweeting me about.
Yes. I went to the Hip Hop Family Tree panel, and there was like 8 people in there, dude.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. Now, granted, a lot of them might have been in the Milk Fair Criminals Masterminds, which was the Fraction Deconic panel also at the same time. So that was a...
like a competing panel.
Yeah, it was at the same time, and I was actually, I thought about it. I was like, well... I wanted to go to that one myself, but I actually wanted to go to this one, so I just, you know, it was a technical decision.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, which, like I said, in any con, you're going to have something like that going on. So, and apparently there was some news coming out of that, which we will probably get to also. And I think the last thing I went to, Star Wars. There was also a Star Wars panel. That was pretty cool with Jason Aaron, Stuart Immonen, and a couple other people.
Nice. So, like, the new look creative team was
there.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. It was kind of funny because there was this one dude was asking a question that he was trying to act like he wasn't asking. You know, it was like, well, basically, like, well, people ask, what is your, you know, what are your qualifications for being able to, you know, for Star Wars, basically? But he was trying to make it like he wasn't asking for himself.
Sure.
So to answer the question, and this and that, that was actually another really decent cover. Now, another panel that was actually really good, I got to bring this up. The cover variants panel had Tommy Lee Edwards, Phil Noto, Art Adams, Sanford Green, and Mark Brooks.
Wow.
That panel, again, had like 12 people.
Jeez.
But it was fun because they were having fun with it, and it was amusing. I got to, after that, I get to that too, because I ended up talking to Phil Noto and Sanford Green after, you know, once I got back down off the floor after that. And then that was that, and that's when I went on the floor Sunday and did all my business, which brings me to...
Wait, hold on, drum roll, please!
Sorry. I got this print.
And yeah! This one.
That looks I got one. This is Tim's version because it's signed, so this will be coming to him.
Yeah, buddy.
Nice.
Soon. And I also got. Let's see. I went to. Well, they gave this out, which I've been about, but that's just for. This is a flyer they had out for the convention.
Wow.
And I got some. I got two prints from Mark Brooks, which one of them.
Here. Nice.
I should ask you for one of those too.
That's really nice.
I meant to text you back. I should have texted you back because
he's from my area.
Yeah.
I never met him.
That is really nice.
And I also got this one from him. I'm trying to be careful because I don't want to mess this stuff up. Also got this one.
Wow. I did see that at Special Edition. I did see that. I saw someone walking around with that Mark Brooks cover. That's pretty cool.
I also got an art book from him. It was that same art book that he was selling last year that I wanted really badly, and I was glad he had them. And he also told me that, well, a week and a half, which is probably going to be like next week, he's got a new one book of his stuff coming out. Which here is a copy of the book. Oh, that's not it. That's
that one. So does the art book just have...
It's basically a bunch of his covers. And whatnot.
Okay.
That's nice.
Yeah, like I said, he's got another one coming out.
Oops. I wish he did interiors, but all the money's in doing covers.
Which he kind of said that during the cover. And he has done, I believe he has done interiors.
Yeah, he's done a couple series here and there.
Yeah, but he basically said, like, yeah, he loves doing covers more. But sometimes, because that question got brought up, he was like, covers, they basically all said covers pay more, and they like doing them, but some of them like doing, like some of them will do interiors just to kind of switch it up because you don't want to keep doing the same thing all the time.
Right.
Or some people want to
kind of just drawing static images, yeah. Like
yeah, the ones that do interiors kind of do covers to kind of switch it up, you know.
One way or the other.
So, let's see, what else we got here? Oh, this was the print that they gave out.
For Southern Bastards?
Yeah.
Looks familiar.
Mm-hmm. To which I found out that Latour, I didn't know Latour lived there later on, so, which I didn't know.
Okay, that's why he was there. I know he was there last year.
Right. Well, yeah, because him, Jason Error, and Yulee, and I think Robin Rod, they always have a table together, and apparently Rico Renzi is also lives there because he was creative director on the show.
So, yeah, I know he's from there.
Right, so I didn't realize that until later on. And let's see. I got a couple from Phil Noto.
Wow.
Oh, let me see that.
Wow.
Say something, Roddy.
Testing.
Okay. Nice.
So, and I'll recognize that I know I'm not the biggest Deadpool fan, but the only reason I got it was because of the other people on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also this one from Noto.
Wow.
So. And I'm gonna tell y'all like I told people last year, which I shouldn't say this because this is not fair. But usually on Sundays, people are basically trying to get rid of the stuff that they still have.
Sure.
So a lot of times they will
discount
the prices on them. Yeah. So I'm not sure of any of these people. I know Sanford Green, which I'll get to in a minute, kind of was like, yeah, here, I'll give you these for these. But shout out to Sanford Green. Hopefully he's got a Santa coming up this Saturday that I want to go check out. So for Runaways, But I got this one from, this is Latour's.
That's Latour's, yeah, alternate cover.
Yeah. So, Tim, when I was texting you, I was in Latour's line, and the line was long, by the way. Latour, Jason Aaron,
Rodriguez.
Actually, Rodriguez's line was not,
everyone just goes crazy over the writers, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Jason Aaron and Jason, huh?
I was gonna say, I guess Latour's writing Spider-Gwen but drawing Silver Aster, so.
Right. And then, like I said, they usually side by side, and then Robin Rod was right down the side, which I think he always is. And then, like, Tim Sale's line was real long.
Oh, yeah. Well, Tim Sale will do, like, sometimes a quickie sketch, and anyone that does a quickie sketch for free or for low cost always has a long line.
Yeah, like I said, Fresh and Deconics line was pretty long, and there was a couple of people who had some quite long lines. It was kind of cool to see. Let's see. And finally, for the print stuff, here we go. I got some stuff from Sanford Green, which you might have seen this one before, because I know this one has been...
Oh, that's the cover, the variant cover, right? All right.
Yeah, this is one of those covers. I can't remember, because I know we've talked about this one before. And then this one, which I think Tim would appreciate.
Wow. It's a mashup.
Yeah.
Tim, you're speechless.
I'm trying to let Roddy speak so it'll come on the big screen.
Oh.
So just click him. Just click him.
Yeah, I can just click his picture to see it.
Yeah. It's just a mashup of Young Avengers and
Sanford Green did that?
Yep.
You know what? I need to see him, if him and Mark Brooks sell stuff online so that I can buy it.
Oh, don't worry about it, because I got two of them, because I figured you want this one, so you get one of these also.
Nice! Nice job, Roddy.
Roddy, ladies and gentlemen of this week's Comic Chronicles.
Let's see.
Thanks, man.
No problem. Let me get another one. Oh, yeah, here we go. And the other one I got was this right here.
Oh, wow.
So, you see Misty over there in the corner. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Oh, the Secret, was it Secret Wars Journal number 2?
Yeah.
That's really nice.
So, there is that.
And someone needs to get some frames going on.
Yeah, and I still haven't framed up stuff I have from last year, so this is going to be real fun.
Well, you know what it is? There's two ways of doing this, and just as a very quick aside, you can rotate what's in the frames as long as you get decent frames that you can open up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'm lazy. Nope. Once they get framed, they're staying.
Oh, they're just staying that way.
Yeah. Talking about, framing.
Prints, right, yeah. Because even I have prints that just aren't framed right now. They're just sitting around, and I'm like, maybe I'll rotate at some point. You know?
Yeah, I think I framed the ones from... Actually, I don't think I framed the ones from last Heroes Con. I know I framed stuff I got from MegaCon 2 years ago, I think.
I mean, I framed one of my favorite prints that I got from Jim Chung. I framed this from Infinity.
Yeah.
And it's literally hanging right above my desk in my home office where I'm doing the podcast from. So I look at this and I'm always and I remember, you know?
Right.
But the Spider-Gwen's in a different room because there's no room in here. You know, right, the same, right. The Robbie Rodriguez Punisher cover, you know, the Spider-Gwen cover. So, you know, I have a, like, kind of differing thoughts on, like, how to rotate things, or where to hang them, and how to rotate things so it just looks, you know, so it feels fresh. So,
right.
But anyway, you know, yeah. Just get to framing. How about
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I always end up just going to Michael's.
Mm-hmm.
Getting some of the cheaper frames.
I got mine from Walmart last time. I just need to find them again. Because they had like a set of like 3 for $8 or something like that.
Oh, that's pretty cheap. I think Michael's is good. I don't think it's that cheap. It's as cheap as that, but Michael's is always a good place to get frames. So
yeah. So anyway, to keep this ball rolling real quick, so we can get into stuff. I got a couple of Funko Pop joints.
Wow. 90 Storm.
Now I think I may have one of these already, so this could be a giveaway if we end up doing one of those. Robbie the Robot one. I had to get that one. And also, I got this copy of Street Angel off of Jim Rugg.
Mm.
It was I don't know if you know anything about this this book. It's basically she's basically a skateboarding street ninja that lives out on the street. I've seen some pages for it. It's some nice work in here.
Wow.
Okay.
So, and then I got a physical copy of Shaft.
You're damn right.
Yeah.
It's on sale on Comixology, 99 cents.
Well, yeah, but I'd already have them anyway. Yeah. So, but yeah, that's good to let people know.
Yeah,
physical copy. So definitely go out and get that because they were good. I was trying to find the Sanford Green cover because I was talking to them and I was like, yeah, if I could find the copy that I thought I was going to bring, I would have had them sign it. So, but outside of that, it was a good show. I think that's all I got. So, but it was a really good show. If I hadn't been messing around, then I probably would have gotten more done. I didn't get but one cosplay. Picture, and I got some pictures during the panels.
That's it? Because you weren't on the floor that much.
And Sunday when I got on the floor, there weren't that many people in cosplay. And apparently it was a record year this year. Excuse me, y'all, I'm sweating because it's hot as hell in here. Hold on a second.
Get the fan on.
There we go. Well, yeah, but it would make too much noise in here. But yeah, like I said, it sounded like they had a record attendance for at least Friday and Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember because I know they had announced it Sunday.
Yeah.
Even though, Tim, you remember how the floor was last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they had pretty much spread out to the walls a little bit more than they had.
Okay.
You know, because they still had some space on the outside or whatnot.
Yeah, but it was actually like very easy to maneuver.
And it still was. But they just had some more stuff, and they had this one jerk. They had that flash thing. Do you remember the Plinko thing that we went to the time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they had that, and they had this one jerky stand. But anyway, nobody wants to hear about all that. Like I said, it was pretty well attended, and there was a lot of – I have seen some pictures of some pretty decent cosplay. Like the one I got, I liked, but, you know, like I said, there was some good stuff going on there. And it seemed like and the Stan Lee thing seemed like went pretty well. Like I was hearing rumblings from people that went to it, you know.
Okay.
They said it was a good time.
Did you see him?
No, did not see him.
Not even on the floor. That's
things. Yeah, I don't think he was on the floor. So, because I went all around the floor when I went to it. Now he could have been there Friday and Saturday and left.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get to see him because I did get on the show for like a minute Saturday, but that didn't it wasn't long enough to really go around. So, but he wasn't there Sunday. So go figure. But yes, I encourage anyone who's close to Charlotte to come to Heroes Con next year because it was a good time. And apparently they're trying to get Karen Gillian because I saw some chatter between Latour and a couple other people. And McKelvey, I think they're trying to get to come over for next year. So we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, I'm in there next year.
Yeah, man. Try to get you, try to go Agent 70. You and I were talking after the show last week, and I know a friend of the show, Darkwing Ducks, think about going, so we need to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Ratty Cat, for that update.
That was a great report, man. It sounded like a lot of fun.
It was.
We'll transition over to the cinematic news of the week. First up is rumors that weren't verified. Let's see, Marvel. Was it MCUExchange.com? It put up a post about Ava DuVernay directing Black Panther that mm-hmm. hasn't been confirmed by anyone yet. And their sources, quote unquote, weren't really verified. And of course, they said they can't, they can't say who their sources are. So it's kind of just sitting out there in the wind.
Yeah,
they got a lot of heat for it, I see.
Well, all we know is that Feige has talked to her, and but nothing's been confirmed. And Vanity Fair picked it up like it was like the truth.
Yeah.
So all that.
And also that Feige follows her production company on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, and people were using that as like, see, you don't. Yeah. So I remember seeing that come up. I was like, really? You can't go by that.
It's a bit of a stretch. That's a bit of a stretch. That's a pretty thin theory.
Yeah, I mean, even though it does, I've seen it where it has worked out like that before, but that doesn't mean you can take it as that. So
right,
I'll figure.
Marvel Films is not going to San Diego Comic-Con, but Marvel TV is. So there'll be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, I believe, and is Daredevil involved in that?
They'll probably talk about the Netflix stuff.
Yeah, I would think so.
Sony Pictures and Paramount also not going to Comic-Con.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, this is something I know. The Hot Girl TV show rumors were debunked, huh?
Yeah.
So the rumor came out that Hot Girl may get her own show. Okay. Besides just starring on the Legends of Tomorrow. But apparently, that's not the case now.
No, even she, even Sierra
Renee.
Yeah, she retweeted, like, nope, sorry, it's not happening. So,
well, now that started.
Thanks for the love, though. Yeah, I don't know. That was weird.
Michael Keaton's joining Imagine Agents film adaptation as producer and star.
Never read that miniseries, but I remember we talked about it.
Yeah, I remember it came out. I was like, oh, that looks kind of interesting, but kind of fell by the wayside.
We just skipped over a news article that reports that the X-Men animated series had lyrics.
No, that was a parody. But if you do get it,
funny.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to think of where the lyrics were. It's like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-
Whitney Houston was the lyrics.
Oh no.
Because it fits if you kind of tweak it a little bit. But it does actually
fit. Oh man, that was dangerous. Now I'm gonna start thinking that when I hear that song. Anyway, let's move on. Tim, where were you before I so rudely interrupted with a crazy music story?
Let's see. Channing Tatum won't be in X-Men Apocalypse, but apparently Hugh Jackman as Wolverine will. So there you go. Let's see. We got a release date, new poster, and as of today, a trailer for Heroes Reborn on NBC, if people still care about that at all.
I haven't watched the trailer yet. Did you have anything to say about it, Tim?
I mean, it's a bunch of new characters, and who's the Asian guy?
Hero.
Hero shows up at the end, and the agent guy with the glasses.
HRG. Are still there.
Yeah.
Horn-rim glasses guy. Okay.
Doctor Strange to begin filming in London. Now, I don't know why everyone keeps making a big deal about these rogue scenes cut from X-Men Days of Future Past, but
the
scenes will be screened at Comic-Con.
Well, yeah, because they're doing the cut. Because they're doing a recut of the movie that they're going to put out on Blu-ray. Eh. So, yeah, I don't know. Supposedly, they added a few, like, probably good 20, 30 minutes of the movie. I can't remember how much it was of the stuff that got cut out from her. So, I don't know. Go figure.
Doctor Strange to begin filming in London, and the big news of the week: Marvel cast Tom Holland to play Spider-Man and John Watts to direct.
How do we feel about this?
I don't know, young white guy, Spider-Man, big deal. There was a I think he was on Twitter had a video of, I wish I put it in the notes, but there was a video that he had put out of him like flipping around in his backyard or something. Like showing off some moves.
Yeah. I understand your point of view, Roddy. I think I understand Marvel's point of view, and I tend to agree with it. I want to see Marvel Studios have a go at Peter Parker before they start diving into another character as Spider-Man. Mm. I want that.
I'm with that, too.
You know, I do not want them to just, you know, kind of ignore Peter Parker, you know, just so that they can have Miles be Spider-Man. I want them to have their shot at Peter Parker.
I understand that, and that's totally valid. Here's my thing. We have 5 movies of Peter Parker origin story, almost. Not all of them. I recognize that, so don't write it. But we have these stories already. Just say, look, this stuff happened, or at least one of these were the one that went by. Now we're going back to him as a, you know, teenager or Ultimate Spider-Man or whatever, however they're going to do it. Because apparently this guy here is like 14, 15, I don't know.
No, he's 19, young. But he looks very young.
Okay, sure.
You know? So, but I think, you know, what I think likely going to happen is that, yes, they're probably going to forego anything that remotely resembles an origin story. I think they're going to avoid most of the characters that we've already seen in the Sony movies, but we're probably going to see some iteration of the Sinister Six. You know, they're not going to follow through on the groundwork that was laid, but they're going to, I think, introduce a version of the Sinister Six. So that's where I think they're going with this. You know, I like I said, you know, I don't want to stray too far off topic. We can have an entire debate about this, But I really am glad that Marvel's going to have a crack at telling Peter Parker's story, at least a couple of stories before they shift to Miles.
Well, it's still under Sony. They're just putting a lot of input in it. So, I mean, we don't know who's given as much as what, you know? We just know that they're collaborating with it. So Sony still might be pulling the book load of it and Marvel consulting heavily enough.
All righty. So what are we up to now?
Let's get some of this stuff.
Here's a couple. Flash, Gotham, Flash, Arrow, and Gotham got premiere dates. DC's Legend of Tomorrow gets a showrunner.
Okay.
And Gotham has another guy who's playing somebody's brother, some villain's brother.
Let's see. Is that it for the... Yeah, that's Cinematic News.
Pretty much.
Solicits stuff. Is that... That was from last week, right?
Well, this came out when I know DC's came out within the last couple of days, but I think Valiant came out like last week after the show or something. Valiant and Marvel.
Okay. Comic book news. Dark Horse Comics comes to call Mythology.
Wait, Roddy, did you characterize your activities at Heroes Con as flailing?
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Because last year, I was, even though that was my first year, I think I was a little bit more focused.
More prepared, you know? A little maybe?
Yeah.
It happens.
Even though, well, I was kind of more prepared this year, except for the fact that I left the stuff that I wanted to sign in and a couple other things. But yeah, so I was just kind of going with it.
All right. So, Tim, what were you going to talk about, Noelle Stevenson?
Dark Horse comes to Comixology, or Batman.
They were already there. Yeah, because I thought they were already on Comixology at one point, and they just left and started their own thing. Or am I tripping about that, or?
Nah.
I don't know. Like, it was like a couple of years ago where they just left and got their own thing. I might be wrong about that. I don't know.
Noel Stevenson stepped down from Lumberjanes, probably to focus more on whatever new Marvel book she'll be launching after Secret Wars.
I think might be because of the movie also, because there is a Lumberjanes movie that I think she's writing or something.
Okay. What else we got? Oh, and that also announced during Heroes of Con, Kelly Sue DeConnick leaving Captain Marvel.
Oh.
Yeah. That's just madness. It was kind of one of those things that's been seemed like it might have been on the wall for like a year or so, though. We don't know when, you know, because I remember the panel last year, and there was some talk about, like she's never been to a writer's retreat and stuff like that. Now, there's no saying that none of that has anything to do with her decision, but she's got this other stuff going on with her and the Fraction, so she's building up their own little empire over there.
Yeah, well, the first signal for me was when she had a co-writer for the Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, and then, the milk fed...
Yeah. See, you said it, but like, I didn't think that was the case because, like I said, she's had co-writer before on stuff. That's why I didn't really say that. I mean, that might have been the case. Well, yeah, that's true because I think she had one with Avengers Assemble.
Yeah,
I think it's her and Ellis or whatever.
Yeah.
So
it's time for them to move on and focus on their creator-own work.
Yeah. So I wish them much luck.
Miles Morales announced to be starring in Spider-Man adjective list. Secret Wars, and he will be the only Spider-Man, I guess.
Well, we guess. Well, there was another rumor about Peter might be, you know, there might be a Peter afterwards.
Right, and there might be also an Amazing Spider-Man title, too, so we'll see.
I wonder about that, or they'll try to just let Miles do his thing. But then I'm like, they can't be letting Dan Slott be done with Spider-Man already.
Yeah, I don't know. The rumor I saw was like Peter probably be there as a mentor, you know.
Cause, they said he'd be the mentor.
Yeah, so he's going to be around in some way, shape, or form.
Let's see what else. Oh, so yeah, my Doctor Strange creative team predictions were wrong because it is Jason Aaron and Chris Buckelow reteaming back up again as they were the creative team that launched Wolverine and the X-Men.
See, I think Bacalo was meant to draw something like Doctor Strange.
Yeah. something weird. Just
based on his style, I think this is going to be a match made in heaven for them.
And Aaron's been killing it on the stuff he's been doing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I'm kind of speaking of going back to Heroes Con, I'm really kind of upset that I didn't get the chance. I didn't get into over his line, and I didn't get a copy of Thor's because I would have wanted him to sign. Yeah, but his line was so long, and I didn't have anything to sign, so I was like, all right, well, I'll do this some other time. Either that or Star Wars, one of them two. I think I know I got a copy of that one. So, but anyway.
So yeah, even though I despise magic, I'll be anticipating that.
I'm probably looking forward to it. Yeah, I'm gonna skip down for a second if you don't mind, since we're already talking about new books. Spider-Gwen's Nick gets a new comic. They're basically restarting Spider-Gwen again.
Right.
It's kind of from what has been said. There's kind of sort of going to finish up what they've already started and then go into whatever they're going to do now, and sound like she may be flipping to the 616 and or maybe other places.
That's what they teased at for now.
Right.
I actually read the last issue 5 before. So issue 5 came out, I think, 2 weeks ago. Well, a week. And so that, I guess that was the end until Secret Wars finishes and then it comes back. We also didn't mention who's the new creative team on Captain Marvel. It is the Agent Carter showrunners.
Oh, that's right.
Wow, that's right.
Yep. Anka as artist and a slightly redesigned look.
Yeah, it was a good look.
Valiant Comics announces hashtag Valiant Summit live event with Twitter and Periscope for next week.
Okay.
Is that kind of cool?
Use that social media.
Yep.
They talked about the all new Avengers book.
Yeah.
And also A-Force, the A-Force series that's also coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Craig Pack and Frank Cho are doing a new Hulk.
Yeah, I read that. That was today.
Get the name right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was kind of awesome.
The totally awesome Hulk.
Which was kind of funny because during that cover variant, I don't know if I should say this or not, but Frank Cho got brought up because of the Spider-Woman cover that he did, all based off of that Milo Manara one. And it was said that it was like somebody had postulated. It was like, yeah, they're not. No one's gonna give, or at least they heard that they're not giving Frank Cho any work. Really? Like Marvel, DC is not giving Frank Cho any work. And then I think it was like Sanford Greed or somebody said, like, no, that's not true. They might have said that to the public, but that's not true. And we have evidence of that being what he said was actually true. So I find that kind of funny.
So real quick, I'm going to talk about the character who is rumored or teased to be the new totally awesome Hulk, right? I'm going to ring the spoiler bell, and I'm going to go on a quick rant here that might be racially tinged. All right. So if you haven't seen the news, that Marvel is teasing an all-new, totally awesome Hulk.
Oh, wait. I think I know who you're talking about.
Right. And they've dropped hints as to who has been gamified, because the new totally awesome Hulk is not Bruce Banner. They are going to delve into what's happened to Bruce Banner, but the new totally awesome Hulk is going to be one of the Hulk's supporting cast members. Now, the reason why this might be slightly racially tinged is that most hints and most, sourced or referenced opinions online seem to think, and this was my first guess, that the new totally awesome Hulk is going to be Amadeus Cho,
yeah.
Right? And one of the keys that I saw, one of the real clues that I saw is I think someone put up an image of Amadeus Cho in one of the in a recent appearance, and he's got like this faux hawk hair, and it seems to be that the new totally awesome Hulk has a sort of faux hawk type hairstyle. So that's a big clue. One, two. My biggest beef with this is that we finally get, you know, I look at the new Avengers group, there's women, there's people of color, there's even a white dude there, but where are the Asian brothers? Where's the Asian brother? So we finally get an Asian brother superhero that's not Kung Fu related, and they have to make him green?
But he's still one of the eighth smartest people in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, but they gotta make him green. This is like Geordi LaForge and Lieutenant Worf all over again. You put a person of color there, and there's gotta be something wrong with him.
Yeah.
That's just me venting.
Valid.
Hey, we haven't had a good vent session on here in a while.
So, forgive the good agent for venting a little bit, but come on.
Own it.
Can't we get a solid, protagonist who happens to be Asian, who's not green, who's not a kung fu fighter? Come on now, people. Ah. Anyway, end of rant.
Sound like the book you're about to write.
Yeah, right? End of rant.
This is kind of cool. Dark Horse picks up Gene Ha's Kickstarter funded May.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of quick Kickstarter, I received a Kickstarter reward today from, speaking of Totally Awesome Hulk, from Greg Pack.
Oh, that's right.
Who saved me? If I can figure out how to do the Windows share here.
And P.S. A footnote to the rant. Both. I'm presuming that Cho is Korean because Greg Pak is half Korean. They got two Korean brothers as a creative team.
It's Frank Cho.
Right. And Amadeus Cho, I'm presuming, is Korean too. And they got to make him green. Come on. Anyway, end of postscript to rant.
Post-rant.
Exactly.
Can y'all see my screen?
Yep.
You see the print, yes. The cover?
Yeah, we see it. Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks to Pack and Colton, Miyazawa, Colin, and Bolin.
Nice. Have you flipped through it yet? Or?
Yeah, I kind of just flipped through. I think I might actually give it as a gift to my niece or nephew. Both of them have birthdays next month.
Nice.
Cool. So, yep. Let's see. Back to news.
Oh, did we talk about Squadron Supreme already?
No, but that's what I was going to ask.
Okay.
Agent 70 about his Fantastic Four creative team reuniting.
Yes, Robinson and Leonard Kirk. Yes,
because after Invaders and Fantastic Four, that you couldn't have acted for a better team, I think.
Yeah,
right. And what I love about Kirk's art is that it's very very steady, and Robinson seems to just be very adept at exploring these team based dynamics. So
yeah,
more power to him. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm not one of those guys that loved Thunderbolts because it was bad guys trying to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of interesting to see how. I don't know if we talked about the premise, but this is supposed to be, spoiler alert, this is supposed to be post-Secret Wars, where these members of the Squadron Supreme are plucked from different realities, and they all remember the realities they came from. That's freaky.
That kind of confuses me because it looks like the same lineup as the Secret Wars Battle World team, right?
It's similar because they all have like doppelgangers in other worlds, and that's how they're playing it.
Right.
And I haven't even heard of some of these other universes that they come from. Because I know they said, So the Hyperion is the Avengers Hyperion,
right,
who was technically a good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, they're using somebody from DP7?
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Hazard, that's a new universe.
A new universe character. So you know how, remember Nightmask and...
That's the Blur, right? Is the Blur?
Yeah. One? Yeah. Holy shit.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. The only one, I just know Hyperion from Avengers and Dr. Spectrum from The Great...
Society,
because that was in New Avengers.
Well, I guess they needed a speedster, so I guess that makes some sense.
And what the Warrior Woman is the one from Battle World,
right? See, all right,
rant on.
Here we go. So when Hickman did, which was also funny, because in his panel he was like, "I'm only allowing two Secret Wars questions, and if they're not good, no more." But that was pretty funny. I can't even remember the two questions of that. Either way. So at the beginning of Avengers, New Avengers, that we got this whole promise of new universe characters coming in, and they did. They used Starbrand and they used Nightmask, so cool. I was really, really hoping that there were going to be some of these other people show up, like Cyforce or DP7, because I love those books, and that's just me being
old school.
Yeah. So and they didn't, and now all of a sudden they're just plucking another dude out of the blue. Which, granted, this is not Hickman doing. This is you know, I'm sure there was some picking and choosing they had to do, you know, or somewhere along the line. Like, I'm glad to see them being used, but I'm kind of like, come on, man, bring some of those folks back, man. Some of those were good characters. Like I said, Cyphos was pretty much X-Men, you know, except better. No, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say that. That's not even. I can't even justify that remark I was about to make. But yeah, end of rant, because I was like, they could have, come on, use some of these other new universe people. Some of them are actually pretty good.
For shame.
I don't even like South Squad the Supreme.
I know nothing about them. I guess I can read some books of the older stories, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
Let's see. DC Entertainment announced their Comic-Con plans with some variant covers. A-Force returns with G. Yay! Willow Wilson, and that's all we know.
Yay!
And Image Expo is coming up. And that's it for news.
I believe that is. Oh, right. Congratulations to Sierra Hahn for Boom hiring her as a senior editor. So.
All right. Now it's time for me to do our ad read for the week. This will be Busted Tees. This episode of the Comic Chronicles is sponsored by Busted Tees, your home for funny, awesome, cool tees, t-shirts that are sure to get your friends' attention. Busted Tees puts many of their popular shirt designs on sale each week. Choose from several eye-catching t-shirts inspired by pop culture, such as Charging, Using Blanca's Power for Good, Street Fighter II, Jarvis is My Co-Pilot, Avengers Age of Ultron, Nelson and Murdoch, Avocados at Law, Daredevil, A Tragic Comic Hero's Ending, Aquaman in a Sardine Can, Aquaman, Central City Running Club, The Flash, and much more are on sale. To help keep our podcast free, order from Busted Tees by going to coldslitherpodcast.com. That's coldslitherpodcast.com, then clicking on the Keep Our Podcast Free link. Click on the Busted Tees banner and then shop for awesome t-shirts. Busted Tees through coldslitherpodcast.com. Do it today. All right. Anyone has a comic they'd like to offer up for review first? How was Uncanny Avengers number 5? I feel like that book just fell off the face of the earth after it relaunched.
Kinda. The story itself was, after the whole, you know, hey, Wanda and Pietro are not Magneto's kids, kind of thing, kind of floundered. But I take it you read it, Agent 70?
I did, and I was just glad to get to the end of the story. You know, I'm glad that this particular story arc is over, I believe.
Where are we, 5?
So, yeah. And I think that Uncanny Avengers needs a serious rethinking post-Secret Wars.
I wonder, part of me wonders, is it going to continue after Secret Wars? But I guess, because supposedly, at least the rumor is that the Rage of Ultron graphic novel takes place after Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So that would lead us to believe that they are still a team running around, and I guess Sabretooth would still be inverted.
Inverted, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lots of things to consider.
I guess. I don't know. Uncanny, even in the last volume, Uncanny kind of had a slow start that it got better, but it was it seemed to be languishing. So it didn't seem like they knew what they wanted to go with it, but it just wasn't getting there, you know, well enough or fast enough. But it did finally pick up, and yeah, I don't know if this one's going to get to that point or not because of Secret Wars. It's kind of the other book that's kind of with the Mighty Avengers that's kind of got thrown under, you know. Because
the Hickman mumbo jumbo machine that fell victim to that.
Oh, never mind. I was about to say, I wanted to ask him about that too, but I was like, yeah.
Well, mumbo jumbo, has he ever heard of it? I'd love that.
Yeah, I didn't because I was like, let me, I'm not going to.
Save that for like a silly time, you know, to ask, but not if you're just trying to get up on the mic and ask him a question, you know?
Yeah. But anyway, this story was not great, I take it.
It was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. Like I said, off this data
is weird.
Did anything come out of it?
It looks like it doesn't look like they're back to being, you know, an item, but it seems like Vision and Scarlet Witch might still be kind of you know, harboring, you know, or at least forming a special kind of relationship, maybe not that of husband and wife, but,
right,
you know, they might be very good exes, you know, to each other. You know, they're definitely developing the High Evolutionary as a future big bad for the Uncanny Avengers to deal with. You know, they name drop an old Marvel event that was named after the High Evolutionary.
Mm-hmm. Evolutionary War. Or not that yes. one. Was it Evolutionary War or was it another yes. one? I can't remember. Yeah.
Yes, that's what it was.
I'm so thinking of Revolutionary War also. That's a terrible one.
So ultimately, you know, they're teasing that what's old is new again in that regard. But, mm-hmm. you know, that's where the new evolutionary, the High Evolutionary is coming into play, you know, in this book. Honestly, like I said, I was glad that this arc is over. Maybe I'll just sit down and try to reread it so that I can make some sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my review is on the lower end of the number of stars because it was just – I was glad it was over, and I really don't see what the point of these five issues were.
So that Vision and that other AI thing, something happened with that?
Well
– with their kids the Vision, or whatnot?
Basically, the Vision resists whatever temptations he may have been exposed to based off of this, you know, this other AI.
Right.
So, the Vision resists.
Figures, but that's where it seemed like it was going.
Yeah, we can leave it at that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let's see what else.
Hey, let me get this one out of the way. Shield number 7.
Hey.
Worlds collide, people.
Yeah, seriously. Worlds
collide.
If there is one issue of Shield that is really heavily influenced by the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Marvel TV Universe, this is it. Mm-hmm.
This is exactly it. So we have Quake, Daisy Johnson, coming in, going after her father, Calvin Zabo, Mr. Hyde. They go and plunk him from his hideout and to fix whatever genetic issues Daisy Johnson had been going through. She still has the power, she does all that, and she recognizes everything. So basically what they did was they just bridged the show with the comic versions, even going so far as to calling her Sky somewhere in
right,
the
they do.
This book.
They call
and
her Sky.
Like, oh, no, it's just a nickname we have. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, you gave her a pet name. How cute. And they also reference, I guess, what she's been doing in Bucky's book.
Right. And what was cool about this was it was nice that they referenced what Mr. Hyde was actually up to
mm-hmm.
in the Ghost Rider issue, Ghost Rider series that just ended. And why he was in hiding post right. the happenings of the Ghost Rider issues. So I kind of like that, you know, Wade did a good job of dropping a couple of those Easter eggs and references so that you could see that the story was still very much tied into the fabric of the current Marvel Universe.
Yep. So it was cool for that, but it was like, at first I was like, well, actually, because it's not like they didn't make any bones about this book kind of bridging the two already, but this just cemented it. So in that, it was kind of a really, but at the same time, it was like, okay, roll with it, because that's what they were going for anyway.
Yep.
I started reading. I got to, like, the first page reading it before we start recording, so I'll finish it at some point.
And the thing about it was, it was still kind of a throwaway issue. It was like the whole issue was just pretty much there to say, all right, look, Daisy Johnson is Quake and Sky and mm-hmm. everything meshes together. Go. That's pretty much all this book did.
Hey, you people that are fans of the TV show, please read this book.
Right.
Yeah, some of that, yeah.
I wonder if S.H.I.E.L.D. will continue after Secret Wars, especially with Wade being the Avengers main writer now.
Yeah, I don't know, because I know they're doing all that stuff in September for the anniversary.
Yeah, I guess that
so
is true.
I'm assuming that there might be an ongoing coming out of that also. I'm not sure. I can't remember, because I know there was like five or six books coming out of there.
I hope so. I hope so.
So I'm thinking this one might still be around. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. I read Superman 41. Actually, semi-enjoying Superman books. Go figure.
No kidding.
Yeah, so, I saw you mention that on Twitter also.
So this takes place pre-Truth storyline where he being Superman's secret identity has not been leaked yet.
Right. I was going to say that this is the story that starts off, the story that describes how we get to the point where Lois finds out.
Yes.
That's what this is. So if you're even at all curious about how Lois finds out, start reading with this one. What did you think of Luen Yang's writing?
I liked it. The John Romero Jr.'s art, but definitely enjoyed the writing, the kind of bromance between Clark Kent / Superman and what's the guy's name?
Jimmy
Olsen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely writing is a big plus for me. I'm anxious and curious to see what Yang does on Superman. Is it Yang?
Making me look because I couldn't remember if I was citing it correctly or not.
Yeah, now I'm curious.
Yeah, no, it's Gene Luen Yang.
Okay. So,
I mean, it was interesting.
They also brought up, so apparently he's being blackmailed by someone that knows his secret identity. So my theory, spoiler alert, Bill.
Hold on.
My theory is that he goes to Lois and asks her to reveal his identity for him, so he can't be held over him anymore.
That's not a bad theory. That's
plausible, yeah.
Yeah. So that's just me.
Well, work it.
All right. Anyone want to toss another one out? Oh, well, I guess I can go through.
Can't we read Robin?
Yeah, that works. I read that.
Because I'm kind of curious about that one.
So I said my memory may not be too accurate, but it seemed that they changed Duke Thomas's personality around a little bit. But maybe it's just because he's now an orphan since his parents are missing after being injected with the Joker toxin during Batman Endgame.
Hmm.
So he's been hopping around foster homes, getting in trouble. And we see Leslie Tompkins, who I'm not even sure has she been shown in the DC universe since New 52 or not. But the art's kind of nice. There's like two different artists. Corey Randolph does the epilogue pages at the end, and the main artist's name is escaping me right now, but it kind of it's a youthful look, nice bright colors. I like the internal monologue that I'm forgetting the writer's name now. Lee Bermejo, I think his name
Lee Bermejo wrote this?
Yeah.
He's an artist. Like, he did a lot of work.
He does the covers.
Mm-hmm.
He's also doing that Vertigo series, Suiciders.
Right. That's exactly what I was going to mention, is that that's his creator-owned project. That's his baby.
Yeah. So I like the... just that it's something different. Like, they're taking a bunch of youthful kids and having them, like, use the mantle of Robin as, like, the calling card or, like, a rallying call.
A rally cry, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so this is not us getting a Black Robin?
No, because there's a bunch of different...
Exactly.
There's a bunch of Robins to latch onto.
Right. Hmm.
So
I'll try to read it.
Yeah, I'll cross my fingers and hope it stays consistent and people read it and enjoy it.
All right.
Cool.
Let's see. What's on the list? What did you guys read? Infinity Gauntlet number 2. We all read that, right?
Yes.
I can't remember what happened in it.
I sort of remember. Roddy, I think, read this sort of timely, like this week.
Yeah, I read it a couple of days ago. So what we have here is after the events of last issue, we have the Nova of this universe. Well, I guess one of the Novas of this universe who just happens to be this, who was away from the family up until last issue of, I'm not sure, like, this is Secret Wars tie-in, so, but we don't know if this is in one of the battle worlds or just in an off world somewhere, you know, just a world that's similar to ours.
Right.
Something like that. But they, but they make some references that may say one way or the other. So anyway, we have the Nova, I can't remember her name, that comes back and gives everyone a Nova Star. So all of her family right now, including the young girl who, Anwen, which is weirdly the only name that I can remember, a star. Even the dog got a star, so even the dog is a Nova. And this book is them trying to get to the Nova outpost of that world.
Very quickly, Roddy, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes. No, go ahead.
I'm not that familiar with Nova history. Surprise, surprise.
Mm.
I always thought it was the bucket helmet that got passed on, not the star.
That's kind of funny, because I did too, and I'm
that's,
not that
I think that's usually... That's how the Sam Alexander Nova worked. He got
right.
his helmet, so this is
right.
slightly different.
Yeah, so yeah, so she comes, so this Nova comes passing out stars, and then everybody becomes Novas, and then they end up fighting the bugs that are on this world, which seems like annihilation bugs. Yeah. But they kind of make a reference to that.
Yep.
And we also see guest stars by a couple of Guardians. Mm-hmm. So Star-Lord and Gamora show up, and as last issue teased, not so much teased, but we also have the Infinity Stones, which obviously the name of the book being the Gauntlet. We have we found out that everybody's trying to find the rest of the stones,
right.
as they have called them here, and come to find out that when they get to the last outpost, that the stone that was there had been stolen, but the one that that Anlin finds during the course of last issue, they still have. And right. We also see, why am I drawing a blank? Thanos.
Going to say that mm-hmm. the story has two kind of parallel stories working.
Right.
And,
which I think they're going to kind of blend in tomorrow. They're going to, I mean,
right. They're
tomorrow,
definitely going to collide. Gonna right, they're definitely yeah. going to collide in the near future. But in this issue, they've got these two sort of parallel stories going, and one of them involves Thanos and what appears to be time travel.
Yes.
So that kind of threw a cute little wrench into things, because I wasn't completely clear as you know what was going on. I thought maybe this was like a crazy image, you know, like maybe he needed some, maybe Thanos needed some medication because he was seeing double or talking to himself, right?
Right.
Then
because last issue we saw him kind of sneaking around in the shadows, but not really, you know,
right.
not really making a play for anything. This one, we see him making a play and then that not working. Right. And I was like, well, the time travel.
Right. So, you know, that being said, I enjoyed the book. I like this character. I know what I know we're not the biggest fans of artist turned writer and doing both of the really top big jobs on a comic book. Mm-hmm. I thought this was better than the first issue because things were happening.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to point out that this week we've got a lot of books from DC that are doing that are giving artists a chance to write. You know, or you know, at least within the DC universe, like we were just talking
about.
Well, Deathstroke, I mean, that Tony Daniels has been doing that for a little while. But we were just talking about, what was that book?
Robin. Son of Robin?
Yes, Son of Robin.
Was that this week or last week's book?
No, Robin, whatever.
Wait, we just talked about We Are Robin.
Yeah, We Are Robin, being written by Lee Bermejo, who's better known for his art rather than his writing.
Oh, right.
So it's kind of interesting to see, you know, that the artists are just like, hey, I want to get paid, you know, to do something else. All right, that's fine.
Not mad at him. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to throw out Green Lantern Lost Army, number one.
Yeah, how was that? I flipped through that. I spoiled myself.
I call this the week of Cullen Bunn, as I read that in Aquaman, which I guess I can get to next.
All right.
But Green Lantern Lost Army, I loved art. I like the setup of kind of like these, you know, this small collection of Green Lanterns are somehow taken and put in this strange new landscape that they're trying to become familiar with while trying to survive, and they've got Krona, the rebel guardian, with them, and then near the end of the book, they get a surprise from fellow Green Lantern, Guy Gardner, who has a Green Lantern on one hand and a Red Lantern ring on the other.
I heard him being referred to as the Christmas Lantern.
Oh! Yeah, that was a nice little jab from John Stewart. So just like who's the White Lantern? Kyle Rayner might still be alive in Omega Men. Apparently, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner. And of course, he says that he was one minute he was on Earth, the next minute he knew he was all the way across the galaxy. But now that they've streamlined the Green Lantern universe, I actually want to check it out again. I still haven't read Green Lantern 41 yet, but I'll try to get to it. But yeah, I'm curious. Supposedly in a Newsarama article, which I skimmed through the beginning part of it, but they said that Bunn is seeding stuff that's going to have major impact on DC Universe in Lost Army. So something with probably where they're at will be made, will be brought over into the main DCU. I assume.
All right.
Oh, and Mogo Aquaman comes and kills everyone.
What was that?
Mogo comes and kills everyone.
Really?
Mogo Jojo. Every time I see Mogo, I think of Mojo Jojo.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they couldn't be more different.
Yeah. Oh, and Aquaman 41.
I tried reading this too, Tim. I flipped through it and I just didn't get what the whole story was with this ancient city, and then the ending threw me for a loop. I really can't talk about the plot so much, but just my general impressions.
The last page kind of confused me, but everything else up to it made sense. It's three. The story takes place 3 months after, I guess, Aquaman is being hunted by Atlantis, or he's like exiled from Atlantis, and Mera is ruling. They call it Queen Mera, which means, I guess, between in the 3 month period, they get married soon. He's got a different look. He's got supposedly new powers, and his trident can like turn into from a dagger to a trident, and there's some threat that's possibly been out in the oceans forever, and they're just now becoming aware of it, like growing over time.
Right.
Kind of like oil slick looking thing.
So, I mean, I guess that's where they lost me, is that, you know, there's a little bit of time hopping as well. You know,
I enjoyed the then and now of it.
Right. There's a then and now, and we get from, you know, Arthur wearing the traditional Aquaman suit to the new updated version, and you know, which I guess is supposed to hue a little bit more closely to the movie version that's been teased in, you know, promotional images from Batman vs. Superman. So, right. You know, we kind of get, you know, I thought it was just a tough reintroduction to the character, and, you know, we get to this point where he's trying to do something to protect, you know, the people of Atlantis, and the last page, without spoiling too much, basically says he may not be working just in the interest of Atlantis at this point.
Okay.
You know, there may be a conflict of interest there because he's trying to help other people as well.
How dare you help people?
Exactly. Exactly. All right.
But yeah, it's intriguing enough for me to go back to reading Aquaman again, which I hadn't done since Geoff Johns left.
All right. Cool. All right. Let's see. What do you guys read? Anyone else read Korvac Saga number 1? I know we just mentioned it at the beginning.
Not yet.
No, I was going all to. Right. But
I don't want to talk too much about it, except for one thing I want to mention. It harkens back to something that we talked about in last week's show regarding one thing that sort of is jarring to the citizens or the population of Battleworld in general, about how they sort of remember the way things used to be, but because of God Doom just basically rewriting history as they knew it, you know, their understanding was altered as a result of God Doom's, you know, interference in the creation of Battleworld. But one of the things that is noticed, I believe, in the Carol Corps book last week comes back as another element of the story in this issue of the Korvac Saga.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'll drop a small hint. It's about something that's missing from, and you know, they observe that something is missing and it doesn't make sense. So, you know, like I said, without spoiling too much, because it sounds like Roddy probably wants to read this.
Yeah, I'm going to read it.
So, you know, that does happen, and that does sort of lead to a little bit of the questioning of Doom God's authority, you know, God Doom's authority.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, that there's a common element in that Carol Corps book as well as Korvac Saga number 1. And I think it's cool that, you know, they're actually portraying some of these characters as having that memory from their previous existence and understanding that something is seriously wrong at this point while still being alive on Battleworld.
I'm going to assume that Gina, because I don't, is Gina in this book?
Yep.
And she's one of the ones that retains memory, correct?
I don't believe so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
That's interesting, because if you recall in Guardians 3K, she was the one that kind of knew things were flipping
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, okay. And then that's interesting.
I may have to read that more carefully, because I don't know if I want to make that statement
okay.
fully.
Gotcha.
I think she may be clued in as well as, in addition to Starhawk, also being sort of clued into what might be happening.
Which would make sense, yeah.
So maybe that's, you know, maybe that's part of the story that I'm sort of missing as I try to, you know, snack to build my energy back up, you know?
Understood. Well, if we're done with that, then let's get to, I guess I'll one-two this one here. Blackwater number 19.
Go ahead. I plan on reading it. I just haven't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, there's not much to say, except for the fact that this is a Last Days book, and it starts off with Natasha going on the mission that we see ending in Secret Wars.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what's implied. But from there, it just goes into a flashback that may or may not have anything to do with said event.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like it. It's just like her going on a mission in the past for the Red Room. Like, this is that far back Red Room, I guess. And it seemed like it's one of her early missions to Cuba, and has something to do with this family, may needing to be getting out of the country, and also another operative that is there with her. But it's just, it doesn't really have any tie to, you know, what's been going on in the other Last Days books and or the event, you know, the event itself. Once again, to the flashback.
All right.
And then it's still in the flashback when the book ends. So this is like a two-parter or a two or three-parter, whatever is left right. in the book.
All right. I know Dirt's not here with us. I think he would have loved to talk about what happened in Punisher number 19. I'm just going to keep it brief by saying that it's kind of a return to form for Mitch Gerards on art and for Nathan Edmondson on script. It's kind of like a cool little, you know, what would Frank Castle be doing? They do touch on what Frank Castle really is doing in the Secret Wars issues. You know, was it the lead up to Secret Wars, we find out what he's doing, where he goes to a bar where
where the Kingpin
where
and
the villains are, exactly, yeah. Where the villains are, and he starts mowing people down. They do touch on that in this issue. So we do see that, you know, this story and this character are connected to the greater Marvel Universe. You know, this iteration with the mask, basically the Howling Commandos that were hunting him come back and recruit Frank Castle to do something in the waning days of Earth 616 as we know it. And that's the basis for the story. There's a couple of cool little scenes. But like I said, it's really much more of a return to form for Gerards on art and Nathan Edmondson on script and story, because it really does feel like we're reading along with Frank Castle. It's a real mix of action adventure and a little bit of the Punisher War Journal, where, you know, like, you can sort of hear him thinking out loud to himself and making notes and references. So, you know, I enjoyed this. This is a candidate for Click of the Week for me because of how fun it is. And on a side note, I know that Gerards has pushed for John Bernthal's depiction of the Punisher on the Netflix Daredevil show to use the mask that Gerards designed for the Punisher for this series. And I've grown kind of fond of that mask. I didn't think that the Punisher should be masked at all from being a long time Punisher fan. But I really understand the practical nature of it, and I feel like maybe this is a design element that they might want to strongly consider incorporating into the Netflix shows. You know, at least for the Punisher.
Right.
Okay. And the last book for me is Planet Hulk number 2.
I read this. What did you think about this, Tim?
It's one of the Secret Wars books that I'm enjoying.
No kidding.
Like, nothing really happened in this issue, I guess.
That's my biggest critique of the story. But go on, I'll let you finish, then I'm going to jump in.
So, yes, it's Steve Rogers, Devil Dinosaur, and Doc Green traveling across Greenland to get to the mud, whatever they call it, mud portion of Greenland.
Mm-hmm.
They encounter all sorts of gamma-infused creatures, and I did enjoy the flashback sequence with Bucky and Cap.
Oh, you mean when everything goes Hulk? Yeah.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay.
When everything ends up going Hulk, if I'm not mistaken, that's what they're referencing.
Okay. So yeah, nothing really happens, but the art is great. And it's just kind of fun to see them interact with one another.
Hmm. Well,
them
I like
the Hulk and
The Doc Green Hulk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the writing of the Doc Green Hulk in this. It was very smart. It seemed very, very smart. So, you know, I liked that part. I'm not sure as to how this is going to play into the larger Secret Wars, you know, and Battle World. So,
yeah,
I'm hesitant to pick up the next issue, to be perfectly honest.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm. As soon as you said, kind of read like a joke. Doc Green, Steve Rogers, and Devil Dino travel go across Greenland.
Yeah.
And that's the start of a joke if there once was. It's actually making me curious to read it.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, not much happens. You can definitely, you know, catch up very quickly as to the premise of the story and where we are so far.
Mm. Cool.
All right. It looks like Tim's already covered most of his books. You want to get into rapid fire? Or do you have stuff that you really want to talk about?
Let me pull up. Let me do this one real quick.
Loki and Gem.
There's not much to say about Gem.
Okay.
Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 15. This is another Last Days book. People, we have Asgardians with guns.
Oh, that's right.
Let that sink in.
I forgot that's how the last issue ended.
Odin was getting his cable on.
Yeah. Oh, the 90s. Yeah, and the book, the issue starts out, this is not so much of a spoiler, so if you see the image I got right now,
mm-hmm.
I want this on a t-shirt.
Mm.
I want that really badly on a t-shirt.
I totally forgot about that. I have to read this now.
Yeah, it was good. This is probably, if I were to base it off the strength of anything, like this image right here, this might be Click of the Week, but it was also actually a good read outside of that.
Mm.
But, so this is what we have here is, Freya, Odin, and the armies of Asgard as they are, you know, anybody who's around, going up against old King Loki from another timeline.
Right.
Hela, Tyre, and whoever else in their army. Going
Is Jormungand the World Serpent there?
And the World Serpent, that's right, I forgot about that. Because you see Loki riding the World Serpent.
Hmm.
King Loki, excuse me, right in the circuit. So at the beginning of the book, you have them fighting. You know, you see that image that I just showed with Odin's, you know, spiel going on,
mm-hmm.
which seems real metal. And like I said, you go through the fight from there. But then it gets to a certain point and cuts to our younger Loki. Well, actually, excuse me, it cuts to something else because we get some backstory on Verity Willis. You know, the side character that Loki gets to know during the course of the book.
Right.
So we get her backstory, and which the rest of the book is pretty much that, with the exception of cutting in and out to cutting back and forth to the Asgard stuff.
Okay.
We see Freya making a pretty bold stance in the midst of the battle because she was like, all right, this is we got to make a big play here, and she does. So you can read between the lines as to how that plays out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like I said, we have... Yeah, that's pretty much it. It just kind of cuts back and forth between the battle between King Loki and then Verity's backstory leading up to a point with I guess, Verity and Loki, the young Loki, is going to get into the battle or going to be battling King Loki next issue is the way it seems.
Did you say, did we find out the origin of Verity?
Yeah.
Verity?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, we get to find out. That's okay. Like, we get to find out why she can, you know, how she has the power to read through people's lives.
Okay.
It's interesting.
And, yeah, and what uses that she was going to use with them. That part may or may not be interesting, but it's kind of cut from place to place going, you know, talking about that. So if you're curious about that, then that's something to check out.
All right. Are we in rapid fire time?
I believe so.
So let me just fire off a couple of quick reviews and then maybe hit a back issue. So I'm surprised, and I know I've said this before, I'm surprised at how many of the Secret Wars books I'm reading and actually enjoying. I was very surprised at how much I enjoyed. I mean, I wasn't head over heels, but I enjoyed Age of Ultron versus Marvel Zombies. For whatever reason, I don't know why, it just seemed like a fun read. And the last page has a cool cliffhanger. So, you know, one of the best parts about, you know, zombies that go after you, you know, to eat brains and stuff, the dialogue doesn't necessarily have to be there, and you can sort of read along at a very quick pace and really appreciate the art and then kind of get a gist of the story without too much, you know, the exposition's not necessary because it's zombies and Ultrons, you know what I mean? Once you figure out how they got to where they are and you see how they have this occasion to kind of clash with each other, then, you know, you understand, okay, this is going to be a fun book. And you go on and you get to the ending and it's actually a really interesting twist, a cool cliffhanger. And the story revolves around the maker of Ultron, you know, Henry Pym, but what looks to be some sort of alternate version of himself and the Wasp and some members of the Avengers as well. You know, so that's,
Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it, surprisingly enough.
Okay.
Surprisingly enough. You know, like I said, I didn't have any real expectations going in, and I enjoyed it. Daredevil number 16, we have, we're getting towards the final days of the Daredevil run by Wade and Samnee. This issue involves Murdock basically making or trying to make a deal with his own devil. And we all know who Matt Murdock's devil is. It's Wilson Fisk. So I'm like, wait, didn't the Punisher just gun this guy down in the Punisher book? And now, you know, now we're here, you know, on the West Coast at some point. So that sort of threw me off. But at the same time, you know, the way Wade wrote this storyline about how, if anyone's unfamiliar with it, how Daredevil basically outs himself and acts like, you know, Daredevil when he's practicing law and just doing regular everyday things. So, you know, there's a plot by Murdock to sort of put that genie back in the bottle, and he sort of needs the Kingpin's help to do it. And that's the motivation behind this particular story. And we're also getting to the end of the story with the is it the Shroud? I forget that guy's name. Anybody?
The Shroud?
Yeah, the Shroud.
I know him, but
right.
I
mean, he's basically made himself the Kingpin of San Francisco.
Huh, okay.
You know, so I guess you haven't been reading Daredevil. I was hoping that's
no.
Okay. So basically, you know, the Shroud has become the Daredevil of San Francisco, the Kingpin of San Francisco, and Daredevil's trying to stop that and maybe making a deal with Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, to make things happen. You know, to make that happen. So it's an interesting, you know, kind of morality play, and you get these old enemies in the same room talking to each other, and it's just, you know, it's entertaining. It's not, you know, it's not enough to be a click of the week, but it was still entertaining enough. And
so does the Wild Pack show up?
No, it's too bad. And let's see what's left on my. No, I think that's it for quick reviews. I read more than what I put up, but if it wasn't that interesting, I probably didn't even have the energy to type onto my list. So go ahead, Rod. If you have any rapid fire, go ahead.
All I have is Jim and the Holograms for. If you have ever watched the show, it has the vibe of the show there okay. And things. It's all right.
Any back issues? I was just going to throw in some back issues.
No, because I can't remember anything else. Well, I was going to read Thor 345 because apparently there was a tie there to Loki, Agents of Asgard 15.
Okay.
That gets referenced in there that I wasn't sure about. So outside that, nah, have none.
Well, I read Ms. Marvel number 16 from last week, and I enjoyed it. I know we talked about it just before the show started. I'm very happy to see that, you know, even though it is last days, it is the end of this particular run or series of Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, that they're doing their best to tell a good story around the last days. And I think, you know, I think G. Willow Wilson does a good job of that in this book. I think that Nathan Edmondson does a good job of telling, you know, a good story in the midst of, you know, impending doom for the Punisher. You know, even the Punisher says, I think someone, one of the Howling Commandos jokes with the Punisher and says, so I see you're going out with a bang, you know, basically killing off all these bad guys before, you know, the planets collide. And the Punisher says, well, it's better than going out with a whimper. You know, so that's kind of cool, you know, like that some of these stories are, you know, these characters doing what they have to do, doing what they do best, because, you know, in the face of this impending disaster that only a few Avengers knew about, really, if you think about, you know, if you think about it right before like it all starts to come out, you know, right. Can you blame Kamala Khan for being like, what's going on? You need to talk to somebody, you know? So, you know, that plays into, you know, her confusion as to what's happening, you know, during the incursion and how she's dealing with it and very much so what she's doing with her last days on the 616 Earth as she knows it.
Oh, I read Thor's again.
Ah, nice.
I'm reading it again.
Nice. Real so quick, yeah, that's it for back issues for me. How about you, Tim? Any rapid fires?
Yeah.
I cleared out the iPad already, so I can't remember what all I read besides Spider-Gwen. It was kind of a weird issue. It kind of just ended, and they're taking a break for Secret Wars. Oh, mm-hmm. I guess they introduced that new universe's Black Cat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is very tan. And speaking of tan, Spider Woman, I read that. She was very tan also.
Oh, what was that? Six or whatever it was from a couple weeks back?
Yeah, from a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
When all the Spider Women had issues out at the same time.
Yeah.
I started Silk but haven't finished that. I read Loki 14, I guess.
Mm.
So yeah, the prelude to Gun Toting.
Gun Toting Odin. Yeah.
Well, that cliffhanger page is awesome. Yeah. That last page, that last splash is awesome. So
yeah, like I said, that one image I had was a pretty good page too. Tim, did you read our E4 Extinction?
No, because the art, I don't like that art.
I tried.
I was about to say, Ramon Villalobos, I kind of like that art, even though here it's kind of weird.
Well, Chris Burnham, who's an artist, is doing the writing on this.
Right.
You know, it's kind of weird that, you know, that DC trend, you know, hopped over here to Marvel.
And plus, I wasn't reading, I had started reading comics around that time of the
Martian X-Men.
Yeah. Big puffy jacket X-Men.
Yeah, the new X-Men, yeah.
So, I have no, of course, I didn't really read Extinction Agenda either when it came out back in the 80s or whatever, so, but I did read the Secret Wars book.
Extinction Agenda was 90s.
Yeah.
That was Jim Lee was on that. Lee Liefeld, right before Image.
Huh.
It was right before the big relaunch of X-Force and X-Men, but anyway.
But we can go ahead to clicks of the week.
Yes.
Sure.
I have no idea what mine is.
Yeah.
I think I've already dropped a good hint of what mine's going to be.
Nothing really jumped out at me, but I might actually go with, I'm gonna go with Aquaman 41.
No kidding.
Yeah. I just like the new direction. It's kinda intriguing.
Hmm.
Okay.
Well, I already dropped mine. Very strong hints because I usually have a couple of candidates for click of the week. And this week, just like we were just saying, I had kind of a tough time. I liked Infinity Gauntlet number 2.
Yeah.
And that was a strong candidate for me. But I think I'm going to go with what I enjoyed reading the most, which is Punisher number 19. That's my click of the week this week.
Gotcha.
Okay. Well, I forgot MODOK came out this week. Yeah, I enjoyed Infinity Gauntlet also. But I'm thinking, you know what? Why not? Excuse me. Loki, Agent of Asgard.
Nice.
Number 15. Gun-toting Odin for the win.
Nice. I'm regretting not reading that, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, that part of the story was really good. The Verity stuff was all right, but it was just pretty much backstory on her, and there was nothing, not necessarily exciting happened, but at least we finally get to know, you know, why she can do what she could do, you know, and what was leading up to. Actually, and it leads back up to when she met Loki at the beginning of the book.
Really?
So, but yeah, Gun-toting Odin.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Did Dirt happen to send his in?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Our man Dirt is on vacation, by the way, people. Enjoy it.
He will hopefully be with us next week.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Wait, next week, real quick, have we figured out we are doing a show next week because it is the second. right? We're not worrying about the 4th of July weekend because it hasn't started yet by the time we do our show.
The 4th will be that Saturday. So as of now, I plan on recording.
Awesome. Same.
Yeah, I'll be here. So.
Cool. Join us 3 weeks in a row of Roddy Cat.
Oh, I will say real quick, if you are in South Carolina, specifically Columbia, and I'm hoping this is right, Saturday from 11 to 4, Sanford Green will be signing, doing a signing of Runaways at Punk Monkey Comics.
Wow.
I believe that's what he told me. So I'm going to try to run up there and check him out.
How far a trip is that for you?
It's probably about a good 10, 15 minutes.
That's it?
Yeah. Like I said, it's not too far from a not too far from a job, but it's unfortunately probably the closest LCS to Never mind. I was about to say it's the closest LCS to me, but it's not because there's another one another way. So
okay, cool. All right. Well, let's wrap this puppy up in a nice new bow.
I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight's episode of Comic Book Chronicles. Make sure to go to the website again, theclicknation.com. And also go to DIRT's website, popculturenetwork.com. Follow us on our individual Twitter accounts. I'm at TimDOGG98 and at CBCon. DIRT is at PCN_DIRT. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70.
Yeah.
So we'll be back hopefully next week. 9 p.m. Eastern time if you happen to be home and want to watch us live.
Before you go running away for your 3-day weekend.
Indeed.
Or feel free to download us when we come out on the Cults of the Podcast Network on Friday or the Click Nation or even on YouTube and catch up with us over the 3-day weekend.
Yep. Shout out to Matt Wang.
Yeah, follow Matt Wang on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
What's his Twitter? Matt.
Matt Wang 97.
Thank you.
Is he tweeting at us?
No.
Oh, okay.
But follow him anyway.
Yes.
So we will see you next week. We are the Comic Book Chronicles, and we are signing out.
Yay! Thanks for the audience.